Something unbelievable has transpired here. Just yesterday, Paul and I were discussing our vending machine anger.
Yes.
Paul relaying a story that he once shook down the vending machine here. He was so angry, and that quarter started popping out like he had won something at the casino. So we're back. We took a little walk to the vending machine during this break that has just occurred. And we see a guy who introduced himself, Paul, as John the Vending Machine guy. And he's your schoolmate. You both went to Penn Trafford. They were separated by 2 years, city limits. John the Vending Machine guy. He heard the rant.
And he came to fix it.
He seemed mildly offended that we rage against the vending, rage against the machine,
rage
you might say.
Rage against the vending machine.
Paul, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, really, very interesting. And, of course, he was able to explain some of the issues with these new vending machines.
You were very curious.
Of course I was, because I get about once a week, I get into a fight with a vending machine. So, of course, I was.
He was a very kind man. He told
us. Dude. Yeah, of course.
Paul didn't have the worst violent rage against the vending machine. John, the vending machine guy, told us about a visit to a halfway house recently, city limits, where somebody threatened, if that machine doesn't work next time I go there again, I'm kicking it in. The next time John the vending machine went to that halfway house, the entire glass was kicked in. It was kicked in. There was no more glass.
I wonder, did that mean that the, you know, did the guy like take it all?
Yeah, at that point, does it become a free-for-all? And have you committed a crime, city limits? Like, if you walk down there later tonight, let's say 9 o'clock, there's three people in the office, and somebody earlier, maybe Paul, had kicked the glass in, are you allowed to reach in without leaving money and just take what you want?
I think so. I'm not the one that committed the crime. I mean, the vending machine has been broken, and now it's just a free-for-all at this point.
Paul, do you agree with that, or is it a crime? Are you stealing?
I'd say it's probably a crime from the standpoint of you're stealing, and I guess vandalism. But it's not
somebody vandalized it first.
I'd be paranoid that I would get implicated.
I would be very paranoid.
It's not like it's a crime. I don't think it's like a federal crime type thing. Like if you break into a mailbox or something.
You're right, I think.
If you steal someone's mail, it's a felony.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's where we're at with vending machines.
Here's another social etiquette question while we're on the topic. Right over here, there's a men's room. Not 20 feet from here, really. Maybe 50. So I was having problems before the show. I asked for an extra 3 minutes at the beginning. Do you remember city limits?
I do.
Somebody was in there. There was one other person when I went in there. And I held the blowout out of courtesy. You know how blown saves or a hold, they have little numbers for that? This was a blowout held, a BH. I held it out of courtesy. He left and then I blew out. A couple weeks ago, a man who shall remain unnamed from the newsroom here, I was the only guy in the bathroom. I was at the urinal. He comes walking in at about 1:30 and blows out like game one of the 86 finals. There's squeaks happening. There's everything happening. Paul, do you hold? Do you have a hold there? Where you let the person leave and then you blow out, is that proper social etiquette?
I guess, but if you got to blow out, you got to blow out. There's not much you can do about it.
That is proper social etiquette.
It is proper social etiquette, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, I understand if you're having an emergency.
Right.
But anything less than an emergency, you hold, right?
Or you at least try to hold.
Well, what do you think of this guy in the newsroom, not only not holding, but basically disintegrating in there?
Maybe he was emergency.
It didn't sound like one. He didn't seem fretting when he walked in. He was very relaxed. And then he went Jeff Daniels and Dumb and Dumber on me. And then you can never look at that person the same, can you, Limits?
This might take a while.
Yeah, suddenly they're in a different light, aren't they?
Thankfully, it was you, not me.
So every time I see him and I walk past him in the newsroom now, it's different. Do you understand?
I'm curious who it might be.
Well, I'm just saying.
But I don't want to know.
I'm just saying.
Because then you'll look at him different, right?
Possibly, yes.
Paul, do you want to know who it was?
No, I probably don't.
All right.
But my point is, how do you know he wasn't I mean, I
guess. In an emergency?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's.
He, because of the way he comported himself walking in. There was no urgency there. I know that look. You had it 2 days ago.
Yeah. Well, I was so sick. Yeah.
You were melting down like Kyle Nicklaus against the Cubs. Remember that one? You were
Fleming against the Cubs.
Or Hunter Green the other night against the Pirates. That was Paul.
Yeah, he threw up on himself, didn't he?
This guy from the newsroom walked in there very slowly, casually. He was probably reading.
Was he whistling?
But there was no care or...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Politeness there. Etiquette. All of that. It was a disregard for my humanity, I felt. Do you understand that?
I guess why you would feel that way. Disregard for your humanity?
Yes. The guy came in and blew apart.
A disregard
right
for
in front
humanity.
Of me.
Sometimes, yes. You know, maybe there was no other option in his mind. There was no choice. That is what had to happen at that specific time.
All right. All right. I'll accept that. I'm telling you, though, it's going to take a long time before our relationship is mended, before I can see him the way I used to.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Let's go to the calls. We have Vladimir Guerrero talk. I mean, in a nutshell here, the Pirates are just about at the halfway point. They have a gigantic opportunity. If you're going to go out and get a guy,
right,
you're going to have to overpay and get him early. Vlad Guerrero says that he, if some team wants him, he understands it's a business. Let's go, is what I hear him saying. Let's go. So... do something.
Right.
I want to yell that at the top of my lungs, and then we're talking
about... But the problem is we still got, what, 4 or 5 weeks till the trade deadline.
I know. That's another way you can beat people to the punch here. People who suffer from prospect derangement syndrome, you tell them you're going to part with, you know, Solomato and Chandler, or one of these other guys and Chandler, or Termar Johnson and Lonnie Smith and Solomato for Luis Robert. That was the trade they were just discussing hypothetically on MLB Network. You know, these people will pass out, you know, or commit some sort of violent act because the Pirates have dared dip into their prospect pool for 3 prospects, not 3, you know?
Right.
So that's all on the table here at 412-928-9370. Perhaps Paul and I can help you with your prospect derangement syndrome. Perhaps it would be helpful to talk about it. Limits, let's go.
Here's Michael and Robinson.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. So I think the best way for Charrington to get the best deal is to make a move sooner rather than later. So, because if he makes one later, then he's got to see, you know, how all the other GMs make out.
All right, Michael, so 2 top 5 prospects and Henry Davis for Vladimir Guerrero. Are you in or out?
For Vlad Guerrero, you said he has 1 more year of control? Right?
Yeah, this year and next, and then he's a free agent in 26.
No, because personally, my 2 untouchables are Davis, I'm siding with City Limits on that one, and then Solomato. Solomato's untouchable for me because...
Michael, may I interject here? Paul, I need your help.
Of course.
I think that Michael here may be suffering from prospect derangement syndrome. Hold on, Michael. This is now a, what do you do? What's it called when you confront somebody about an issue, an intervention? So you need to listen for a moment. Paul, we need to tend to this man. He's suffering from prospect derangement syndrome. He just called Solomato and Davis, quote, untouchable. Talk to him, Paul.
I wouldn't say untouchable.
Michael.
Well,
you're
if you're not going to trade them for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they pretty much are untouchable. Because, you know, as Joe said, there's not a deal for Ohtani coming down the pike anytime soon. So,
right, of course.
So, you know, Vlad Jr. is a superstar, basically, in the league. That's what you have your prospects for. I mean, I don't understand. What do you know about Solometo?
I know a good bit. I know he's not doing well in AA at the moment, but it's mainly, so no one's untouchable, right? But
there we go.
That's
a healthy sentence.
To give up because, just because he's a 6'5 lefty and he's still super young and he's done well so far up until this year. So that's my main thing with Solometo compared to like Chandler and, you know, Harrington or Barco. And then for Davis, just being the 1-1 and, you know, back to city limits point of not being like consistent and having all these bumps in the road.
No, I hear you, man. You know, it can be difficult. Tamar Johnson is one for me. I'm not, you know, enamored with the idea of getting rid of him, but they just tanked for 5 years. Theoretically, they should have all kinds of guys. So all right, you wake up tomorrow. Michael, where are you calling from?
Robinson.
Michael wakes up in Robinson tomorrow, and the Pirates no longer have Solometo or Henry Davis or Ashcraft. You're going to survive, Michael, and guess what you get to do if this were ever to happen? You'd get to go to the ballpark, let's say, you know, in 2 weeks on a Friday night against Bulls and watch Paul Skeens pitch and Vladimir Blanken Guerrero hit third for the Pirates. Would you really be thinking on your way to the ballpark, God, I miss Anthony Solometo? Come on.
I wouldn't. No, I would not. Absolutely. It's more so for the fact that, like, they could get away with a deal that, like, we send lesser.
No, they could. See, that's the point, Michael. They can't. Everybody wants Vladimir Guerrero. Everybody needs a hitter. Paul, go ahead.
Because that was the other thing that they've been talking about. There's only about four teams that are going to be able to deal or are going to be dealing team, you know, players. Four or five teams.
Michael, you have to overpay to get the deal done.
This year, you're going to have to overpay.
And I have great compassion for you, Michael.
Rockies,
and if you need a personal visit, Paul and I do house calls at
the
some
Rockies,
point.
The Rockies, you know, the Marlins. Toronto, there's
Yankees,
about five, six teams. There's about
Astros.
I'm saying there's about five or six teams that are sellers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Marlins, the Rockies, Toronto, you know, there are not many places where you're going to go get players. So, as a result, everybody, that's going to be, it makes it a seller's market, which means you got to overpay a little bit.
I have great compassion for Michael, Paul. It can be painful to observe somebody in the throes of prospect derangement syndrome, and we just did that. it was instructive, was
There's
it not?
So many,
limits?
Like I said yesterday, I had guys going on and on about the F war of certain, you know, Mitch Jeb, his F war or whatever.
Mitch Jeb.
I'm like, what are we talking about here?
Do you think we left him in a good place?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think I'm in a little bit of prospect derangement syndrome as well. Like I'm not as much as I used to be, like when I was younger. But, man, I just think
Well, you've medicated for it, yes?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I think
I see the trade that the Pirates made for Gerrit Cole and got, like, literally nothing back. Realistically, I mean, they got Joe Musgrove, and then they parlayed that for David Bednar and a couple others. But, I mean, maybe that's an outlier in terms of what was actually dealt because it was quantity over quality.
Yeah.
But you got to give something good up to get something good.
Especially this year.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Coming up, Gormy the Owl. Kevin Gorman from the Trib covers the Pirates. Man, there's a lot to talk about. Jared Jones getting skipped in the rotation. Great Rowdy Tellez story from last night about the little kid that he befriended when he was with the Blue Jays. What's this kid's name? Xander? Is that his first name?
Yes, Xander.
I mean, this is an awesome story. Let's talk about that with Kevin Gorman coming up.